And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. We're doing music before we start. I love it. Our DDD, Family Witness. Have you ever witnessed in your family? Have you ever noticed how fun that is? Wowzer. If you don't have believing brothers, sisters, mom, dad, children, wowzer. We're going to talk about that. Plus, we have the question that has been waiting to ask for a long time. Ready? Ready? How? That's the question. How? Not how, now, brown cow. All right, and then we're going to talk to the professor of retirement, our own Marty Schneider, because he's so much fun to talk about, and he owes me a pastrami sandwich. And then we'll close it down with today's Facebook post, not a microwave.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then, David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. Local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics. Yep, gotta cover it. Entertainment and current events. Personal revelations. Guess what? The Dookie dog is back. I have two dogs going to be sleeping on my bed for at least the next three nights. Spiritual observations and my life's insanities. Oy vey. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 866-577-2473. 866-K-PRAISE. Remember, any topic is open for conversation because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience, here on AM 1210 K-PRAISE, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back, but stand by for SRN.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
All right, it's David James. My friend Sue Freeze, the termite lady from Ecola, is here. And Sue, you were just telling me that allergies and termites have something in common?
Dave, if you have a problem with termites in your home, but also suffer from allergies and chemical sensitivity, we offer an array of termite control services that will be able to solve your problem without putting your health at risk. Our Ecola heat process uses extreme heat instead of chemicals to kill and remove termites and any other pests that may be infesting your home.
Yes, and you were telling me about the awesome electro gun treatments. It sends electricity through the wood, and you use it as part of your termite control services?
They're very effective. So if you are concerned with your health and are sensitive to chemicals, know that we have an array of options for termite control.
Don't sacrifice your health or the health of your home. Call Ecola Termite Pest Control Services now. 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS or termitelady.com.
Ecola, powerful termite and pest control.
As gentle as a butterfly.
In Canada, a Christian school has been ordered by a public school board to refrain from reading or studying any scripture that could be considered offensive. This is Truth Itself. I'm Bob Dittmer. Cornerstone Christian Academy in Kingman, Alberta, has been ordered by the Battle River School Division to refrain from reading or studying portions of the Bible that the board says might contravene Alberta's human rights legislation. Included are passages from the New Testament that speak against fornication, adultery, idolatry, and witchcraft. The Christian school was incorporated in 1986 as a ministry of Cornerstone Evangelical Baptist Church. It belongs to the Association of Christian Schools International, while also partnering with the BRSD. According to its website, parents from nearby towns send their children to the Christian school because it integrates Bible study into the approved provincial curriculum. It serves about 180 students. In its vision statement, the school states that students will have a good working knowledge of the Bible as a foundation to their education. It goes on to read, Cornerstone Christian Academy offers a program that integrates faith, life, and learning. School officials have agreed not to feature those specific verses in a student handbook, but are concerned that the legislation could prevent them from teaching the entire Bible. Deanna Margle, board chairwoman of the Cornerstone Christian Academy, called the legislation a restriction on freedom of expression, freedom of religion, freedom of speech. It's a violation of our constitutional freedom in Canada. More than 20 years ago, a group of Christian pioneers partnered in a bold new approach to healthcare based on principles found in God's Word. They called it MediShare. Today, with over 200,000 members, it's a national community of believers who love God and share each other's medical expenses. And it's half the cost of insurance. MediShare, affordable biblical healthcare. The phone number is 844-49-BIBLE. That's 844-49-BIBLE. You can see these stories and more on our website, truthitself.com. Truth Itself, news that impacts your faith, family, and country.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210, K-Praise, the Christian station.
Here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Woo, doggy. All right, so a couple things to tell you. One, if you want to reach the show, davidspoon at kprz.com is a great way to do that. Two, I'm checking out the weather right now. Hold on. I'm checking it out, checking it out, checking it out. Okay, got that. Three, I'm looking at the traffic. Huh, that's my response to the traffic report. And then four, if you want to reach the show and you can't do it through the email, you're always welcome either to contact the station and leave me a voicemail or just wave right now. Wave right this second. Wave. I'm waving right back at you right now. We're both waving to each other. That's a wonderful way to say hi. 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 How you doing? Great to see you. All right, let's get into our first DD&D. That's brought to you by Cameron John, who didn't call it DDD for Devotional Diamond of the Day. He called it Devotional Diamond and the Day. Okay, we forgive him. Here it is, the title, Family Witness. Family Witness. I could do 5 hours of this, but I guess I'll just do 10 minutes or less. John chapter 1, verse 35 through 41. The next day, John was standing there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." And when the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Jesus turned around and saw them following. "What are you looking for?" he asked. They said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come and see," he replied. So they went and saw where he was staying and spent the day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard John's testimony and followed Jesus. He first found his brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated as Christ. So, family witness, how do I get that? Well, Andrew was one of the two disciples that were hanging out with John the Baptist. John the Baptist goes, "Look, the Lamb of God." So there's Andrew going, "Look, the Lamb of God. Wait, this is the guy I want to follow." So he follows Jesus. He's one of the two. And what happens after he's hanging out with Jesus for a little bit? What happens? He tells his brother, Peter. Now, I've always felt bad for Andrew. I still feel bad for Andrew. Talk to him when we get to heaven. But if you think about it, it's Peter and John and James were the really close three, but it was Andrew who introduced Peter to Jesus. I mean, it's like kind of like, wait. You kind of missed that whole thing, right? But what did Andrew do, though he might not get a lot of credit that way through the book of Acts, what did Andrew do is he shared with his brother Peter about finding Jesus. There's a passage in Acts chapter 1, verse 7 through 8. It says, Jesus replied, "It's not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jerusalem in this is understood as the home base, and then the next surrounding region would be Judea, then the next surrounding region would be Samaria, then the next surrounding regions would be the ends of the earth. So Jerusalem is the home base, and Jesus said, you're going to be witnesses in your home base first, and then that next area, and then that next area, and then that next area. And for some of us, we're not doing a pretty good job or do a great job of witnessing at home base. We're willing to take the witness elsewhere. Guess what? We got to be in Jerusalem. We got to be at home. Andrew told his brother about Jesus. He didn't wait to tell the family. He's like, ooh, I've got to tell my brother. I want my brother saved. I want my sister saved. I want my mom and dad saved. I want my kids saved. So I'll tell you, and I won't go into great detail, but you've heard the story about me sharing about my own testimony. Billy, my brother, was the person who introduced me to Jesus Christ. He witnessed and witnessed. He witnessed 3 weeks in a row. I was going to bop him on the head with a club. He was annoying me so much. But he kept witnessing. He kept witnessing. He kept witnessing. Guess what happened? I got saved. Did I like it when we were going through the process? No. I'm a Jewish guy who's, you know, getting to heaven, kicking, dragging, and screaming. Let me give you another example of how that works in the opposite direction. Ready? I go home back to Detroit, Michigan. Now, I'm on fire for Jesus. This could be a problem, right? Because why? I'm irritating and annoying. I go home, and the family, I go to see my dad, and the family gathers around in one of their big business gatherings in one of the office buildings, and one of my uncles goes, what's this thing I hear about you becoming a Christian and this whole Jesus thing? I thought that was my opportunity to witness, jumped up on a table, right? Actually, a little desk. I have a tendency to do that. I did that in Salt Lake. And started preaching to my entire family members, my uncles, my cousins, all of my family members. And I told them they were going to the first Jewish church of hell if they didn't accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Hey, you know what didn't go over big? That message.
I was going to ask how that worked out for you.
Really bad. Really, really bad. Right? But you can't deny that I told my family. A poor way? Yes, sir, indeed. A poor way indeed. But I told them. Yeah, it was pretty bad. And then especially when my dad grabbed me, pulled me off the desk, and then kind of threw me in the car. That was a whole separate thing. But the point of that is that you gotta, and I know gotta sounds like some name in an Italian family in New York, but it's not. You gotta witness to your family. You have to. I know. Well, they don't like me. Well, let me tell you, Sam Rasul could sit here and tell you a story or two about being a witness and a testimony for Jesus Christ amongst a family that doesn't like him. In my family, they just excommunicated me. In Sam's family, they might physically wound him. Big difference, right? He didn't shy away from the faith. He stood his ground. And some of us are afraid to share with our own families. I got a message for you. If you don't share with your family, how are they going to know? You following that? I mean, that's just crucial, important. Listen to me. I know that there's some of you that are afraid or don't know how. I got it. I get you. Okay? I got it. Here's what I would say as some of those basic responses, right? You've got to reach out to your family, and you don't know how. Wait, but who knows how to do this better than anybody but the Lord? So ask God for help. Say, Lord, I don't know if I can do it. My family doesn't respond to me that way. They don't listen to what I have to say, or they don't like what I have to say. That's okay. Pray. Soak it in prayer, lay the foundation in prayer, make it an issue of prayer, and ask God to give you the courage, because you need the courage to share. Because some of you are afraid that your family might reject you, and they might, and that's possible. I have not talked to family member. I've talked to one family member by reason of legality, I've talked to one family member in 35 years. On less than two hands, and a 35, one out of hundreds of relatives. completely cut, completely out, I would do it again in a second, because my spiritual family is fantastic, and my brothers and sisters in the Lord are true brothers and sisters. And some of you, I know you're afraid. I understand. I'm not taking anything away. But you got to pray for the courage, and you got to pray for the opportunity, and you got to pray for the wisdom to reach to the family, because you may be the only vessel that can get through. Okay? All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back with another DDD. Don't go anywhere.
So I come to you, my friend. I'm asking you again to forgive my sin.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
I am pure Burmese and strong in my own religion. I did not want to hear about Jesus, but Pastor Ruwat came and told me about him. When Da Ai Tin first heard about Jesus, her reaction was, "I will never believe your God and change my religion." But Pastor Ruwat continued to visit, sharing God's word and answering her questions. At first, she rejected the message, but after 1 year, her heart softened. And then one day, she clearly knew that what Pastor Ruwat had been telling her about Jesus and salvation was true. Now she is a believer in the living God. We at Whitefields Ministry support pastors so people can hear the gospel.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Well, your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
This is Lonnie Chen of the Hoover Institution for townhall.com. The California State Senate recently passed legislation creating a government-run single-payer health care system in the Golden State. The idea is so bad that even Governor Jerry Brown has expressed his concerns about it. What's wrong with the idea? It replaces the existing largely private sector system and will force people out of the health care plans they currently have. It will lead to the rationing of care and give to government the most intimate and sacred of our health care decisions. And left-wing lawmakers in California want to pay for their socialized health care system with mammoth tax increases, because the cost of their program is estimated to be more than the entirety of the state's current budget. Public opinion polls reveal that Californians are actually opposed to a single-payer health system. Yet, some politicians are following the lead of left-wing demagogues like Bernie Sanders and pursuing policies that will literally bankrupt the state. Ultimately, California's voters are the ones who have to say that enough is enough. Here's to hoping they do. I'm Lon Hee Chen.
Delmar did not like police officers.
I was always that person that fit the description of somebody who did something, and that turned me off when it came to the police.
But when a friend explained the ins and outs of law enforcement, Delmar saw it as an opportunity to serve his community by becoming a police officer.
My promise to God was, if he allowed me to become a police officer, that I had to do it from a different position. I police from a position of compassion. Most people want to do better, they just don't know how. And I think when you approach it from a position of compassion, you can give those resources while doing your job as well.
And while Delmar is doing his job, he's always looking for a way to share his faith in Jesus Christ.
For me, that's the work of a Christian. That's the work of a believer, to share and spread that gospel.
Learn more about spreading that gospel, sharing your faith in Jesus Christ, at findpeacewithgod.net from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
And I pray the Lord my soul to keep me through your grace.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Let you know if you want to reach the show, davidspoon@kprz.com. Also, don't forget about hisappointment.com if you're looking for some solutions in regards to maybe some of the bigger things that you've gone through in life. That is what the book does, or attempts to address, I should say. And then KPRZ.com for different events and things that are taking place throughout the San Diego Christian community. I want to give big props to Agent Squires. Do you have a sound that you have for you yet or not? Do you have?
No, we're working on it.
What do we think we're going to? Like an Avenger type of sound?
You may say that, but we're going to keep it ready to debut it.
Oh, okay. So we're just spilling the beans early, right?
Yeah, thanks a lot for that.
Hey,
obviously,
no,
you're not going to be an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. because you spill the beans.
Well, first of all, being born and raised Jewish and me knowing that I have am one Jew with two opinions, it's like you got to be kidding me, right? It's like two Jewish people, three opinions. It's like you can't, it's just too much to contain.
Okay.
All right.
So that's moving right along.
They don't give me top secret things for this alone. They try and keep me away from all things pertaining to importance, except for scripture.
Okay.
Everything else, I don't care. All right, let's get ready to do this DDD, Devotional Diamond of the Day, called How. This has no Indian reference whatsoever, so those people who are racists who think that it has an Indian reference, change the channel. I don't want you listening anyway. All right, how is from Exodus chapter 3, verses 9 through 12. That was pretty funny. I have indeed heard the cry of my people, and I see how the Egyptians are oppressing them. And now I am sending you to the king of Egypt so that you can lead my people out of this country. I am nobody. How can I go to the king and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? God answered, I will be with you, and when you bring these people out of Egypt, you will worship me on this mountain, and that will be proof that I have sent you. Here is four outstanding points in a 3-4 verse section of scripture that you and I should use every single day that we get out of bed. How about that? You want to talk about vitamins? You want to talk about coffee? You want to talk about your breakfast, your lunch, your dinner, your snack?
Mountain Dew.
Mountain Dew? Diet Mountain Dew? Whatever it is.
Yeah.
Here it is. First and foremost, the Lord says this. I have indeed heard the cry of my people and see how the Egyptians are oppressing them. Now, I want you to stop right there. God hears us. Here's the problem. The problem is we don't like his speed. Let's just do the honesty check. God hears you. God knows what's going on. God's aware of it. And what you and I want is God to move it up. Let's pick up the pace here. Let's go. Lord, you know we're going through this thing, but it would be fantastic if we can go through this thing faster so we can be done. You see, we have to be aware that even if we, in our perception, consider God's response slow, God's response is perfect in its timing. That's number one. Okay? Number two, verse 10, now I am sending you to the king of Egypt. This is God talking to Moses on behalf of the children Israel. Do you know why God said, now I am sending you to the king of Egypt? Because Moses went early. That is the big conundrum between A and B, between God hearing us cry and us doing something too soon. You see, the Lord blesses you and I with promises and grace and gifts and things of that nature. And so Abraham and Sarah got this cool promise. What was that promise? You're going to have a child. Yay! So what happened when Abraham and Sarah didn't have a child right away? What'd they do? They helped God along. They had Hagar become the wife, secondary wife. They had a baby called Ishmael, and they thought they would just help God along with God's promise. And the end result of that was that Ishmael and the heritage of Ishmael would, in fact, torment the child of promise, Isaac, and Isaac's offspring, all because Abraham and Sarah couldn't be patient for the promise to be fulfilled. Guess what you and I do? Same thing.
And so the Lord speaks to Moses and goes, okay, now I'm going to send you. Not earlier when you went without my permission and an Egyptian died because you didn't go under my guidance. Now I'm sending you. And what does Moses say? One of the most important things. He said, I am nobody. I am nobody. I'm nobody. I can't do this. He gets to the point where he is no longer pushing to get into ministry or get into the kingdom work too fast. The Lord says, I hear the cry of my people. Now I'm going to send you. And Moses goes, not me. I'm nobody. I can't do this. Not me. I'm not. How am I supposed to do this? I'm just a guy here. I'm just shepherding sheep out here in the old desert of Ru. I don't want to do this. I'm nobody. You know what God answered to the statement, I am nobody? I will be with you. Do you know why it didn't matter if Moses was nobody? Because God goes, it doesn't matter. I'll be with you. And you see, here's the whole of the whole. The solution to this and to everything you go through in life is, it doesn't matter. God will be with you. But I don't know how to do that. Doesn't matter. I don't understand this. Doesn't matter. I'm afraid. Doesn't matter. I don't understand. Doesn't matter. I'm not smart enough. Doesn't matter. I'm not brave enough. Doesn't matter. I'm not short enough. Doesn't matter. I'm not tall enough. Doesn't matter. I'm not fat enough. Doesn't matter. I'm not thin enough. Doesn't matter. None of that matters. As soon as God enters the picture, the formula changes. It doesn't matter what the formula is. God enters, formula changes. You know how you got 1 + 2 = 3? Well, God plus whatever wins. Done. That's 1 + 2 = 3. And so Mo, jumping early, of course, you know, and then God's like, hey, I'm hearing my children cry. You know, the Israelites are going, hey, we've been crying for a while. And God's like, patience. And he's like, now I'm going to send you because you went too early before. And then Moses is like, I ain't anybody. I'm not anybody to do this. And God goes, I'm with you. That's it. That's all you need. Because you and I keep thinking we need all of this backup. We need all of this in place and all of this, and we've got to have this done and this done. And God's up there going, no, you just need me. That is the solution to everything. You want to know why this DDD is called how? Because the answer comes from the how in God will be with you. That's how. So the next time you say, how am I going to do this? How's that going to happen? How's that going to transpire? How can that even, it would be a miracle. Well, usually that is the case. The answer is simple. He will be with you. He's the only one that needs to be with you. He's the only one you need. In fact, you need him more than you need you. You need the Lord. And that's the answer to how. For everything. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back with our special guest. Don't go anywhere.
Well, there is one who is faithful and true.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
What could be better than working to bring out the best in one another?
Our Daily Bread.
Today's encouragement from the Our Daily Bread devotional was written by Mark DeHaan. In the workplace, words of encouragement matter. How employees talk to one another has a bearing on customer satisfaction, company profits, and coworker appreciation. Studies show that members of the most effective work groups give one another 6 times more affirmation than disapproval, disagreement, or sarcasm. Least productive teams tend to use almost 3 negative comments for every helpful word. Paul learned by experience about the value of words in shaping relationships and outcomes. Before meeting Christ on the road to Damascus, his words and actions terrorized followers of Jesus. But by the time he wrote his letter to the Thessalonians, he had become a great encourager because of God's work in his heart. Now by his own example, he urged his readers to cheer one another on. While being careful to avoid flattery, he showed how to affirm others and reflect the spirit of Christ. In the process, Paul reminded his readers where encouragement comes from. He saw that entrusting ourselves to God, who loved us enough to die for us, gives us reason to comfort, forgive, inspire, and lovingly challenge one another. Paul shows us that encouraging one another is a way of helping one another get a taste of the patience and goodness of God. Sometimes we need a little extra motivation to help us spend time in God's Word each day. And now it couldn't be easier with email devotionals from Our Daily Bread. Sign up for the daily encouragement at getodbtoday.org. Today's encouragement was provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.
Be still and know that I am God. You know, there's a whole sermon in that simple verse from Psalm 46. Hi, I'm Chuck Swindoll. Here is Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of that thought. Step out of the traffic. Take a long, loving look at me, your high God, above politics, above everything. Relax. Be quiet. Do nothing. How can we do that? Well, on our own, we usually can't. How is such a thing possible in times of turmoil like these? Well, if it depends on us, it'll never happen. Instead, God must convince us from within of its value. Think about that. And having done so, be still.
Pastor and teacher Chuck Swindoll. Visit Insight for Living's website at insight.org.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Where our next guest, we're playing the upbeat Habanagila just for our next guest. He was sick last week, so we want to make sure that he's feeling better today. I want to let Marty know, because Marty doesn't know this. Tugboat Todd is sick today, so we have Agent Squire filling in for Tugboat Todd. So he's running the station, both the stations, plus he's doing my show, plus he's answering everybody's questions. So he he's busy, huh?
Wow, busy boy. Well, I know something's been going around, and I got kind of knocked down last week. It kind of came out of nowhere, but I had this like weird vertigo thing. I kept getting dizzy, and I'm back to normal now.
Well, now, Marty, when you say the word normal, let's be honest. Come on now.
Okay.
Come on. That has a little bit of latitude in the definition, I think.
I am stretching it a bit there.
Just
you're
a little.
You're right.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I do want you to know to get in touch with Marty after you hear how brilliant he is, because you're here in a minute. 1-800-727-PLAN, 1-800-727-7526. Also, you can reach him at theretirementprofessor.com. I like to say theretirementprofessor.com, but I don't want you typing in T-H-E-E. So, theretirementprofessor.com. First and foremost, now that you're feeling better, how has your week been going, Marty?
Yeah, much better. Thanks, David. Last week was a little tough, but I'm back at full speed here and doing better, and it's been busy and good. And, you know, I was talking to a friend over in Arizona who was telling me it was 122 degrees over there, and I thought, oh, man, I'm not going to complain about, you know, 78 here in San Diego.
I know. People, it's 70. I mean, if it rains, people think the sky is falling. If it's over 80, they're like, oh, heat wave, you know.
110 back home for me in Bakersfield.
Yeah. Oh, that must have been nice. What did they have in Bakersfield? 103,000?
Yeah. I mean, it was nice the weekend before. We go up for Father's Day, and it's like, yikes.
Yeah, that's crazy. All right. So, Marty, you had a nice Father's Day, by the way?
Had a great Father's Day. Thank you, for asking. I hope you did as well. Yeah, it was really fun. And,
being a grandkid so much better because I can like the grandkids more than my own kids. I love it. talk to me about the insanity. Now, we're going to be on a tight schedule, Marty, because of, you know, us. So we got till that 44 mark exactly. What do we got going on in our nutty financial world?
Yeah, nutty world. I had a situation. I thought it was kind of interesting, David. I had somebody call me that had had heard something on, you know, one of the radio broadcasts and said, not a client of mine, but they wanted to come in for a visit and said, look, she said, I had purchased, they lived in Chicago area, 10 or 12 years ago, she had purchased a life insurance policy, and she wanted to change the beneficiary on that, and which is fine, you know, you certainly can do that. And when I said, well, okay, who would you like to name? And she said, well, I just want to name my will or my estate, because then my will, you know, transfer the funds to the appropriate people. And I, of course, shared with her that's the wrong way to do it, because, David, anything that transfers through the will go through a probate court process.
Right.
Yeah, it's expensive, it's time-consuming, and it's completely unnecessary. So whereas if she named either a person or persons, you know, you can have more than one, you can split those beneficiaries, or if she had a living trust, then the trust could be the beneficiary, and that would avoid probate, and then the trust would distribute those funds to whoever, you know, the trust outlined as the beneficiaries. But putting it in either your estate or your will is the wrong thing to do, because it's going to mandate a probate, you know, court process, and completely unnecessary. So I just thought I'd throw that out there, because sometimes people haven't checked, you know, beneficiary designations for 10, 15, 20 years on some of these old accounts, and it's not necessarily going to the right place. So it's just a kind of a good heads up to just, you know, dig into that a little bit if you have some of those old either insurance policies or, David, even IRAs and 401ks, because if you've had that for 15 or 20 years and you haven't checked those designations of beneficiaries, things might have changed in your life, and a good time to review that.
Let me ask you a question about that, because number one, doesn't a person typically have in a will or not just a living trust, but in some document, don't they typically have an executor? I mean, doesn't there somebody that is the coordinator of it?
Yeah, like a will has an executor or executrix if it's a lady, whereas a trust has a successor trustee. But the problem with the will is that it doesn't come into effect, David, until the death of that individual. So, you know, a will is not an entity unto itself, whereas a trust is.
Got it.
So it can receive those assets. The will is just the estate of the decedent, and so there's not a named continual person, whereas with a trust you have a successor trustee that steps in your place if you pass away. So that's the difference between the accounts.
How does a person, I'm gonna ask you this because it's a genuine question. How does a person remember all, let's say they've been in the workforce for 35, 40 years, okay? And whether they have a big amount of retirement or not, throughout that process, they have probably designated beneficiaries depending on whatever job, not just a current IRA, but it could have been a job thing where they gave you a $10,000 life insurance policy as part of you signing up and this and that, whatever. How do you know? I think I've asked you this before, because it's daunting to me to think you could have something out there for $15,000, $20,000 you don't even realize that's got some beneficiary that's long lost in your life.
Yeah, and it happened more than people would realize. And there are actually a website where you can kind of put your name and social security number, and maybe you're a beneficiary of something, you know, that you had no idea from, you know, a long lost relative that named you on an account, and you would have no idea about that. So there are a couple of websites that will help you track that stuff down. You know, for most people, David, is if you can kind of look back into their careers and see if they've had two or three or four employers, you know, the kind of benefits that were available, but it requires, you know, periodic review. I mean, you really do have to sit down periodically and kind of circle the wagon and say, all right, I've got my IRAs and I've got a life insurance policy and I've got a 401k through my current work, and just make sure that you have tracked that stuff. I always suggest people kind of write it down in a, you know, in a notebook anytime there's employee benefit, so that they have some kind of a record of what they might have signed up for. But people that, you know, are maybe in their mid-60s and have, you know, been working for 40 years and maybe had a job 40 years ago in New York or Chicago or something, they may have forgotten about some of those old, you know, benefits. And they may not be huge money, but if it's a couple of $1,000 or $5,000 or $10,000, you certainly want to know about that. So there's a couple of websites where you can track down those kind of lost accounts and lost beneficiaries. But for most people, it's just really a matter of keeping track of the things that they know they have and making sure that those designations are in proper order as well.
Can they, if somebody wanted to, because they're like, they think of websites as, you know, like evil or big or large or mean, can they get in touch with you? Is that something you can help people with? I mean, let's say you're doing the review with them and they're like, yeah, I don't know. Is that something that you can help them with?
Yes, it is. And we've done that on more than one occasion. And interestingly enough, haven't, you know, discovered, you know, unfortunately, you know, lost assets yet, but put some people's mind to rest to know that they weren't leaving, you know, chips on the table that they didn't know about. Did, however, discover many times, David, where people had, you know, within the last week, somebody had working at the same company for 20 years and had a 401k that he opened way at the beginning of his employment. And, you know, now that account is fairly substantial because he's been putting money in it for all these 20 years. And during the course of time, he had lost his first wife. She had passed away, never did change that beneficiary, and in the last couple of years got remarried. So that change on that old on that 401k plan was never made. And that's the kind of thing that you just kind of want to, you know, review periodically just to make sure you've got, you know, you've got it all done right.
And that's something that if they come in and they do a review with you on their overall finances, you can just help them. I mean, it's not really a cost service unless if they're working with you, right? If they're working with you and they become a client, that's just something you'd help them with, right?
It's not exactly right. Yeah, we'd review that as part of the review process and, you know, check beneficiary designations and make sure that it's as the client would have it to be and that they're clear about that. And, of course, if a trust has been put together, we want to make sure that the trust is incorporated into the right beneficiary designations as well. So, yes, that is part of the whole planning review and retirement planning process for sure.
Okay. Let me ask you this final question. Okay. Final question. All right. All right. This is going to be a little off board. Ready? Out of all the stuff you've done, because you've done this like right when Methuselah passed on, then you started doing this. Okay. So you've done this for like the entire, you know, Old Testament, New Testament.
Yes.
What is the one thing, Marty, that you have come across that of all the things you've ever come across, you are like, this is the most unique thing I have ever encountered in all finances ever? What do you got?
That's a good one. Well, I can tell you the most blessed event is roughly 10 years ago, we were filing a death claim for a husband passed away. The wife came to us, and we were taking care of all the beneficiary accounts and retirement funds, and there was a life insurance policy. And in the course of reviewing that, I found this one little document that seemed unimportant. And to make a very long story short, I did a little research, filed a claim. It was an unbeknownst to the wife, an old life insurance policy that the husband had. It was $125,000, and they paid the death claim within 2 weeks of me finding that, and it was something that was completely off the graph. They didn't know they had it. The wife didn't know it was there, and she got a check for tax-free, $125,000. So, you know, I made her take me out for a Whataburger that afternoon.
I'm telling you, I can't believe she didn't take you out for a lobster. All right, folks, the retirement. RetirementProfessor.com, but it's actually TheRetirementProfessor.com. 800-727-PLAN, 800-727-7526. Thank you, Marty, for spending the time with us.
Thanks, David. Always a pleasure. We'll catch you next week, brother.
All right, God bless. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break, then come back. Don't go anywhere.
More of the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
This is John MacArthur welcoming you to Portraits of Grace. When the Apostle Paul said, "Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil," he was providing all believers with the necessary defensive strategy for spiritual battle. That strategy is simple. We rely on Christ's strength and put on our spiritual armor. When he wrote that exhortation, Paul was likely chained to a Roman soldier, so he sort of had a permanent illustration of what soldiers did and what they wore. Now, there's one important difference. Roman soldiers took off their armor when they were off duty. We don't have that luxury. We have to keep it on. Obedience and righteousness and faith, and in our hands, the powerful Word of God. And then we're ready for battle at all times. This is John MacArthur, hoping you'll join me for Portraits of Grace.
From Washington, D.C., it's the Cal Thomas Commentary. And now, here is America's number one syndicated columnist, Cal Thomas.
Today's special election in Georgia is less about issues than about a narrative. The left keeps framing these post-Trump special elections this way. If Democrats win, it proves Trump is fading. If the Republican wins, as every Republican has since last November, never mind. This one is no different. A record amount of money, $60 million, has poured into the campaign of Democrat John Ossoff, who doesn't live in the district he wants to represent. Virtually all of it has come from left-wing outside groups. The Republican, Karen Handel, says this is a race for the heart and soul of America. That may be overstating the case, but you can bet if she loses, the Democrats will claim they own the nation's heart and soul. Overstatement is not limited to Republicans. As always, turnout will be the key. Democrats hope there are enough Trump voters who are concerned about the president's performance, they will either stay home or vote for Ossoff. The GOP has held the seat for decades. Watch for the left's reaction, which will be predictable no matter who wins. I'm Cal Thomas in Washington.
For a free copy of today's commentary and other information, visit calthomas.com or send a written request mentioning the date and subject to Values Through Media, Post Office Box 7065, Arlington, Virginia, 22207. Tax-deductible gifts support these commentaries and are appreciated. Listen again next time for the Cal Thomas Commentary.
No matter who we are or where we come from, we all experience difficulties in life.
Military veterans know that sometimes it takes strength and determination to make it through.
Whether it's physical challenges or struggles on the inside, it takes strength to ask for help when you need it.
Learn how veterans like us have reached out for help and hear stories of strength and recovery at MakeTheConnection.net.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
For joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Another show. I don't want to say another successful show in the sense that some people might think that's really arrogant.
Hey.
No, it's not successful. It's another show done before the Lord, right? That's it. If he wants to give us a pat on the back, we'll get it in heaven.
Got it.
That's kind of my theory on that. But Agent Squire stepping up. For Tugboat Todd, he snuck around the tugboat, went through Noah's Ark, skipped by all the other stuff as a secret agent. Of course, I'm outing him right now as a secret agent, but good job.
Yeah, I was feeling a little wimpy yesterday, but I went up to, got an overnight flight on a Quinjet up to the Avengers headquarters in Upstate New York, laid in the regeneration cradle for a couple hours. I was okay.
That really seemed to help, did it?
I'm here today.
Okay.
Todd isn't.
Yeah. Wow.
I'm
just going to let that go. I will say that that's the man you've been. For those that don't know Chris, really, he's the guy that's taken over the full operations. How long have you been in the operations position now? It's been
I think it's been a year and a week.
You've done your 1 year? Really? Did they cut that bracelet off your ankle? No, just kidding.
Well, we tried that.
Yeah, it didn't work so good, did it?
No.
Ah, all right.
The Lord was tugging on me.
Yeah, here we go. We're going to do our Facebook post. Here it is. It's called "The Christian Answer is Often Not a Microwave Oven." The Christian answer is often not a microwave oven. Mark chapter 9, verse 25 through 29. And when Jesus saw a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." And after crying and convulsing him terribly, it came out and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer." And as you'll note, in some translations, it will add, "and fasting." Here's the real deal. Ready? Da-da-da. Too much warfare for the disciples at their current level of operation and understanding of spiritual authority. That demon was so entrenched in that boy. Oh, by the way, it was a boy. That demon was so entrenched in that boy. The warfare level was too high of an operation and of understanding for the disciples who had been hanging out with Jesus. Now, that would change after the ascension, because in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 and 19, it says they came to Jesus. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go." So Jesus, obtaining all the authority in heaven and on earth, then transmitted that authority to the disciples. So that current situation they went through then probably couldn't happen again. However, ready for the big however? There's always a how and a ever. However, this warfare that Jesus taught to them about required the constant action of prayer. In other words, for the disciples, it could not have been an instant deliverance. And the lesson there is for you and I to understand that sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes, we need to settle in for a long fight. Because not everything is microwave oven for the Christian. There is, in our society, a desire for everything to be microwave oven. In fact, we have so many thousands of fast food places. And let's just be truthful. If you pull up to a fast food place and you have to wait in line, like at In-N-Out Burger, and you have to wait more than 5 minutes, what's that ticking inside of you? That's called the lack of patience that's growing. Because we want everything now. We want the microwave now. We want the answers now. Patience, besides not having doctors, patience is the worst thing. Because we do poorly at it. But sometimes the Christian needs to settle in and be aware that it could be a long fight. I know you know that from a spiritual warfare point of view. I know you know that without anybody telling you. But sometimes in prayer, it's that way too. And we've made mention of this before. Perhaps you got into a problem and the Lord has been gracious enough to deliver you, though you were in your problem for 10 years. Maybe God gave you instant deliverance. Praise his name. But sometimes the Lord will require a long-term exit strategy. And sometimes you don't get that instant answer, but the answer you get is over time and over labor and over prayer and over effort. So while we are looking for and hopeful for instant, we are also aware that we are told to occupy until he comes. Why is that important? So that you settle in. You know, the trumpet could blow before I finish this sentence, but you have to be prepared if it doesn't. That's the call. Ready and willing to endure. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a 22-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. Polls are closing this hour in Georgia's 6th Congressional District special election runoff between Republican Karen Handel and Democrat John Ossoff. Salem radio talk show host Brian Crabtree says supporters of Democrat Ossoff are likely to claim victory in today's special election in Georgia's 6th District, even if they lose to Republican Karen Handel.
Tom Price won this in 2016 in November by double digits. It's been a conservative district for 40 years almost since Newt Gingrich flipped it in 1978. So given that trajectory, if she wins tonight, which I think she might, I'm not predicting that, but I think she might, she wins by 2, 3, 4 points, it will be the canary in the coal mine for Republicans that it's all over.
Crabtree says the results could hinge on whether young voters turn out strongly for the Democrat. On Wall Street, the Dow down by 62 points. This is SRA.
This is AM 1210, K-Praise, the Christian station, a service of Salem Media Group.
KPRZ, San Marcos, Poway, San Diego.
Thank you for supporting our ministry partners and advertisers.
Here's today's market update with KPRZ financial editor, certified financial planner Marty Schneider, the retirement professor.
Good afternoon, friends. Here's today's Wall Street Report. U.S. stock market retreated from yesterday's record territory as investors dumped the energy shares after crude prices sank today into bear market territory. At the close today, the Dow Jones averaged down about 61 points at 21,467 on the blue chips. The NASDAQ composite about 50 points lower to 6188 on the high techs, and the S&P was down 16 points to 2437. All of the major indexes lower on this Tuesday. I want to remind you, friends, if you don't have your own long-term retirement income plan together, that is exactly the kind of work that I do for my clients each and every day right here in our Mission Valley offices, helping you put it all together, the IRAs, rollovers, 401ks, and of course, Social Security planning as well. Call me to schedule your free retirement consultation with me. The office number here is 800-727-PLAN. That's the news for the day, and I'm the retirement professor, Marty Schneider. Call me for your free consultation, 800-727-PLAN, 800-727-7526.
Discover the Word, sponsored by Our Daily Bread Ministries. It's AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Who does he think he is, anyway? Not usually real happy with someone when we ask that question about them, are we? Well, this week on Discover the Word, the group's talking about how confused and angry the religious leaders of Jesus' day were with him. And that was one of their questions. Jesus seemed to ignore their rituals, the things they thought were important. And so, who did he think he was? Who put him in charge? Why does he think he gets to change the rules? We're going to discover today that if those religious leaders were angry and confused when they asked the question, well, the answer made it worse. And so, who does Jesus think he is? We'll let you up to the table. Be part of the Discover the Word group next. And welcome to Discover the Word on this Tuesday. Glad you're in that fourth chair at the table with Marty Hahn and Lisa Morgan and Bill Crowder. Now, Bill is leading the group in a study this week of Mark chapter 2 called Why Jesus? Because four times in that one chapter, people asked about Jesus why he was behaving the way he was. They wondered who he was and what he was up to. So we're taking our times together this week to take a close look at the controversy that Jesus created with the answers to these four specific questions that ended up revealing the true heart of God. It was different than the religious people in the first century thought, and it may be different than we religious people in the 21st century think. So let's join Martha and Elise and Bill for today's conversation about the first time that this why Jesus question is asked in Mark chapter 2, and why what Jesus did and said was so unsettling.
When you say to someone or about someone, who do you think you are?
It's not a good idea.
What is it you're expressing to them?
I did that one time. It did not go over well.
It's a bit aggressive.
It was a little bit. Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Usually, if you say something like that in good humor, you can get away with just about anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's when you say it with an obvious sense of gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was pushing back on the grandiosity, on the arrogance of the person I was talking to. I was pushing back because it was way out of proportion to reality. Yeah. You know, anyway.
There's a sense in which the implied message behind the question is you've stepped over a line. You've assumed a role and responsibility that you don't have the right to. So the whole idea was, who made you the boss of me? And who gave you the authority and the right to do what you're claiming to do? This week, we're wanting to look at some questions people ask about Jesus, and they're all located in Mark chapter 2, which I find very interesting that Mark just ganged these things all together. And the first one of these is exactly about somebody thinking about Jesus. Who do you think you are?